Hello, cannabis cultivators worldwide. Jordan River here. Thanks for tuning in to GrowCast. Today's episode is a doozy. It's another breeder feature. This time with the one and only Mad Farmer. Mad Farmer has returned. I love Mad Farmer. I love his genetics. I love talking with this guy. I love his mentality. I love that he's got a mom and pop thing going. I love that he's old school California genetics. A lot to love in this episode, everybody. I know you're going to really enjoy it. First, shout out to Newt Tools. Newt Tools. Have you heard about Newt Tools? If you haven't yet, you got to check out newttools.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 10% off Newt Tools just for listening to the show. And mygrowpass.com members get 25% off site-wide. Newt Tools made the Newt Needle, which is perfect for applying synthetic nutrients, extracting from the bottle into a syringe that you can easily measure your nutrients, and then applying it into your reservoir cleanly, evenly, and quickly. No more spilling nutrients, none of that BS. The Newt Needle is perfect for those synthetic growers. But what about your organic growers? Well, they just made the Newt Brewer. The Newt Brewer is awesome. You have to go check it out. It's simple. It is a little device that allows you to brew solids into liquids. It's like one of these filter bags, except you don't need a filter bag anymore. You use the Newt Brewer. Easy to clean, never jams. It's really, really cool, everybody. NewtTools.com. Smart move on their part. First, the Newt Needle for synthetic growers mixing nutrients, and now the Newt Brewer for brewing teas and all sorts of solids, organic solids, into your reservoir. Check it out, everybody. NewtTools.com. Promo code GROWCAST for 10% off. MyGrowPass.com, 25% off for our members. NewtTools.com. Let's jump into the show, everybody, with Mad Farmer. Enjoy the program. Thanks for listening. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we jump into the episode, please share GrowCast. Make sure you're subscribed. Give us a good rating and review. We appreciate spreading the show. The Homegrown Helpers by Rob Smith, our very own Rob Smith. That's for more growing talk. Subscribe over there. And the Coffee Health and Science Podcast. Subscribe over there. That's my other show. We've got a breeder feature today. One of my close friends. I like talking to this guy. We've been chatting back and forth. It's a return breeder feature. We got the great, the one and only Mad Farmer back on the line. What up, man?
What's going on, Jordan? How you doing,
bud? I'm doing good, man. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Absolutely.
How is life? How have things been since the last time we spoke?
Well, it's been busier than ever for us. Doing what we normally do. Just kind of, you know, wife and I have kind of gone on the down low. Our daughter's been dealing with the COVID and the college thing, trying to figure out what we're going to do. She goes to school on the East Coast. Obviously, we're in California, which has really, really hampered a whole lot of things. But everything is settled in. She's doing, even with her major, which is a cybersecurity defense program, only Brown and the college she goes to offers it. So she got a scholarship, graduated valedictorian, went on to do her thing. And freshman year, she got going. And then COVID hit. And because of the labs involved, it was going to be really difficult for them to do video, online schooling. So my daughter, I'm so impressed. I'm so proud of her. Got on online and started emailing and telling people, you know, my mom and dad are coming up with a lot of money on top of the scholarship. You guys want us just to fly out. They wanted them to have a COVID test. It was negative 72 hours, no more than, before getting there, which the flight back was 14 hours. So just none of it jived for us. None of it worked for us. And she and my wife busted ass and took care of it. So dealing with that, that's resolved, which was huge for all of us here. You know, her education is obviously everything for us.
That's awesome.
Other than that, we've been just, you know, loving the cannabis plant.
Crazy, man. I love your feed. I'm following you on Instagram. I just realized that for some reason I had unfollowed you, so I'm following you again. But you're the _mad_farmer. There's two D's in there. Everyone follow the Mad Farmer. Damn, man. Impressive, let me just say.
Thank you. Thank you, Jordan. I really appreciate that. Hey, shout out to GrowCast for having me. Shout out to them having such an amazing host to do this. I'm backwards. I'm shy. But for whatever reason, Jordan brings it out.
And we hit it off, man.
When I'm talking. So
cool, dude. I love that.
All good.
I think last time you talked about the Magically Delicious a little bit. Sorry, I'm jumping into your strains.
Absolutely.
But that's the one I'm looking at right now. That's the purple Jackie crossed with SCDC. What's the SCDC?
Yes, sir. The SCDC is Kyle Cushman Strawberry Cough Cut crossed with, oh my God, probably about a 15-year-old Tom Hills Deep Chunk Male.
Jeez.
And it is, we'll call it a connoisseur. It's not the heaviest yield, our yielding plant. It's almost like a plant that produces more actual resins than it does flower. Not that it's not a flower pusher. It pushes beautiful flowers. You can see it if you do a hashtag search on Instagram, hashtag SEDC, and you'll see it. It's a simply stunning mother plant, and I know nobody else holds it, obviously, and it's something we take great pride in. It's something that our very first cross with it was called the Strawberry Frost, and it was such a popular line, not just in the United States, but in the UK, that we created like a huge batch of them just because it was back in the day, and we were doing a whole lot of experimentation on how we would get our highest yields of seeds, at which dates would we pollinate certain plants, with certain plants with longer flowering times,
right,
better for pollinating at, you know, day 17 or day 21. And so we were doing a lot of studying, and with her, because her flowering time was so short, we decided we would hit her a little earlier, and she just exploded with seeds. And we thought, holy shit, man, we didn't know, you know, we were going to end up with as many from her, because she's not a prolific, you know, flowering plant. She's an average yielder, but she produces the most gorgeous striped baby pecans I've ever seen from a plant.
That's
so
crazy.
We had that Strawberry Frost became, I don't know what you would call it. This is shit, probably 12, 13 years ago now. But it became one of those strains where people still today hunt for. They asked me.
We got some UK growers. I bet they're listening. I bet they know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Any of them out there that hear Strawberry Frost will probably be asking me up about it. My wife and I have talked about it being in the works again for the future. It was just one of those lines that became notorious, and kind of was one that really got our name floating around. And then people wanted 15, 20 packs at a time. And you're like, wait a minute. Are you looking for a favorite cut? Are you looking to work the entire line? People don't ask for 100 to 200 seeds unless there's a hunt going down.
So wow, man. So you knew you were on to something. I love that.
Yeah. And the SCDC, she's just a beautiful line to work with. She produces this, especially in the progeny, if you choose the right male, and both times we went different ways, and both times she's dominated. Well, three times now she's dominated with every different male that we have attempted to try and tone her down or beef her up. And she just does what she wants to do through her offspring. Wow. And the big one right now is Wicked Deep Strawberry. That is an SCDC cross, but that one is with our heirloom Triple E Wicked male, and it is killing it. Do another search with that hashtag search Wicked Deep Strawberry.
So the Wicked line is your new, that this is your newest as far as released products, right? This is your newest line?
Absolutely, yes sir. That was just released 3-4 months ago, maybe now. But it was right before COVID.
Cow.
Right before COVID got started.
Sorry, I'm cutting you off. Lila Wicked kept popping up in my feed, and then the one that I'm looking at now is Lemony Wicked OG.
Oh, dude, that's another one. Oh, my. That's Lemon Larry. Lemon Larry by our Triple E Wicked male. And where everybody was absolutely loving our Lemontine, same male, but with our same female Lemon Larry cut, but by our male Clementine, and it was murder balls. It produced a compact plant. It took a lot of the stretch of Larry, because Larry is a prolific branching plant, and in 14 days in veg, she's going to probably go 3.5-4 times size that she was. So she's all stretch. And a lot of people struggle growing that indoors. A lot of, you know, personal growers struggle growing a plant like that indoors. So we decided to use a male we felt would be less dominant with the Lemon Larry, and it just came through. And everyone says with the lemon thyme, they smell lemon pine saw and race gas. And then with the Lemony Wicked OG, everybody is smelling country time lemonade or straight lemon pledge. So the lemon is strong, and there's a hint of sour, but on the Lemony Wicked OG, because we use the T-Dub mill, there's also hints of grapes, mangoes, papayas, fermented fruits. So, dude, it's a trip. It's a trip, and it's extremely potent because it's a true OG hybrid. So we're really excited about that one, and it's finally starting to get some notoriety.
Mm, I'm sold. What I know this is really tough, but what is your... I don't even want to say favorite. Which strain in the Wicked line stands out to you the most and why? Let me put it that way.
Oh, man, that's tough. Everybody knows that Ms. Mad and I, we're purple people. We've been purple people for over 20 years. It would be easy for me to choose Leela because everybody that grows it can't believe what they're looking at. Twerkle is the Urkel by T-Dub.
Yes, that's what I'm sitting on, dude. That's going in my tent. That's the one that is going in my tent ASAP.
Oh, dude, and you will not simply be disappointed. I don't care if you, even if you were by chance to only get one female, I promise you that one female is going to be worthy keeping. Oh my God, that's so tough because we also came in for the first time and released as the true SR71 PK, the purple kush that was in the bay at Coffee Shop Blue Sky, later known as Oaksterdam. It's that cut. And we decided, you know what? We were going to hold these and keep these personal, but we went ahead and let those go. And that line is called 71 Wicked Flavors. And if you want to know why we called it 71 Wicked Flavors, grow it. you will find grapes. You will find it's just a complete
smorgasbord,
very complex
amalgamation
board.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like going into Baskin Robbins, but extra flavors, and it's nothing but cannabis. It's just amazing.
God damn, man.
So, but then, dude, you've got sleepers. Everybody's gonna sleep on five Wicked Celts. Because it's just a classic. It's a 1989 Cincy Seeds Northern Lights 5 original cut.
Whoa.
Okay. So it's classic. It's clean.
Old school.
It's pure. She does what she does. You know what you're getting with her. You know what she's going to do in a hybrid. And so we hit her with our T-Dub Mel. I love smoking Northern Lights all on its own. I love it. The high, everything is great. The only thing, in my opinion, that the NL5 is lacking is it is classic. So the terp profile is that classic resin. Some people describe it as kind of a rotting meat or
sure, yeah, rotting, like a carrion smell. Of,
yeah, exactly. And so, you know, the terps don't bother me. I mean, I'm 47. I've been smoking weed shit for close to 40 years, probably 35 years. So to me, I enjoy that, you know, but a lot of the people who didn't experience Northern Lights back in the day, it's not what they expect from their weed today.
Wow.
So we use her in breeding projects and we smoke her for flower without breeding projects. But my God, with the five Wicked Celts, that one is really catching people off guard, just like the Bipolar Jackie did. Bipolar Jackie, nobody bought because they thought they didn't recognize the name. We try not to play the name games. We try to keep the lineage within the line, or at least it's a play on
sure
what the lineage is, because
that's
originally that's how it was done.
Yeah.
You know, So we try to stay old school. We try to stay with what we've always known. But that one, Bipolar Jackie, was blowing people away. Nobody expected it to be colored. And I'm like, bro, that's what we do. Everything we grow is going to show color. Nice. I mean, you know, so that one, and then the other one, people aren't even, we did the T-Dub F2s. We've never released these T-Dub F2s before. And if people are really looking for a true clean line to start a base with, like a base breeding project, I would be all over those because the expressions in there are going to be unique. There's going to be plants that a lot of people have never really seen before. But again, that whole lineup is amazing. Like Leela Wicked is a lavender back cross. So just do me a favor. You people listening, Instagram search anything on those. It doesn't matter what they are. Just do hashtag Leela Wicked, hashtag 70 Wicked Flavors. And you'll see for yourselves what the growers are producing with those lines.
Yeah, man.
But it's to choose one, Jordan. Shit, man, that's putting me on the spot.
No, that was good. That was perfect. I like that overview. And I've got follow-up questions. Before we return to the madman, shout out to Trimbag. Trimbag.com is where you can find it. Promo code GROWCAST gets you $30 off your Trimbag and free shipping. That's neat. And members get $50 off their Trimbag plus free shipping. Trimbag. Are you tired of being stuck in trim jail for weeks? You know, you got those cramping up wrists. Just never seems to end. Trimbag. Trimbag, you can trim. You ready for this? You can trim up to 2 pounds in as little as 5 rotations, if the dryness is correctly. You can trim pounds in a matter of seconds with this thing. You can take it almost anywhere. It costs a fraction of a trimming machine, does some serious volumes, and it leaves your buds really, really nice too. Doesn't knock off those trichomes as bad as one might think. Trimbag.com, this is a great solution. It's a blade-free trimmer, so it doesn't suck in your buds and mangle them. Trimbag is a wonderful, wonderful option. If you're a good grower and you got a lot of volume and you don't have any trimmers on hand and you don't like trimming, grab a Trimbag. You will not regret it. Also good for those bee buds. Toss them in the Trimbag, everybody. Trimbag.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you $30 off and free shipping. MyGrowPass.com members getting $50 off and free shipping. Also, check out their bucket buckers. Trimbag. All right, let's get back to Matt. Before I completely lose my train of thought, because I've been smoking a lot of pen today. You mentioned the lavender. Someone was in my Slack chat, the Growers Growcast Slack chat, and they were. I said, you know, Mad Farmer's coming back. If anyone has any questions, and someone was asking. Someone says, let me shout this out. Send Mad Farmer mad love for taking time to help me pick out the right strains. And then he asks, can you ask him if an uncrossed lavender is in any way obtainable, seed or clone? So you just said lavender. I figure this is as good a time as any to ask this question.
Yes. Okay. First, our lavender cut is not from Soma. Let's just get that out there. Okay. Everybody asks me that question in the DMs, and it's there's so much more to that. I won't even get into it. We'll just say that, yeah, Soma had the lavender cut, and Soma did use that and made some amazing things with it. But the picture Soma used, I don't want to claim false advertising. And I followed Soma. I still follow him. He's a spiritual person, and I always dig his vibe. Cannabis was different back in the day. It just was. And the way it was presented was different. The way it was advertised, it was different. There was a lot of Spain and Dutch companies that were producing seeds, and what they were doing was taking pictures of the mother plant, stamping those on the seed packs, and then it's almost a subliminal message to the mind saying, oh, that's what the offspring are going to look like, that's what the progeny, that's what these seeds are going to produce. Sure. So a lot of people weren't getting that, and so this cut is the one he originated, but once he lost it and then wasn't able to find anything close, it's not apparently possible for him to acquire it. And now I've heard he's sold his brand. I haven't seen or talked to him since Emerald Cup, so I honestly would be just speaking completely, probably out of context. So it is that cut, but we went a different direction and he acquired it in Northern California. That's the deal with the flat with lavender.
Okay.
It's a NorCali Lavvy. It was going around the same time before Urkel. We actually had it before. We got our Urkel.
Nice.
Both of those came from their sources. I'm not stating names. People can say what they want, say it's not true. It's true. Doesn't matter. They came from their sources. And that's how we acquired them.
Awesome. But
we've been doing it a long time. We've watched a lot of people and be incarcerated for a plant that are still incarcerated today. And how we sourced ours was a best friend who we're still fighting for because he is also incarcerated.
California. That's brutal. But listen, man, it surprises me how much backstory there is between these breeders about these strains, one's being lost, one's being, people taking other people's strains and renaming them. See, I grew up in the Midwest where I'm not this West Coast smoker who's been smoking fine weed my whole life. I smoked the bullshit that I could get, until very, very recently, basically until I moved to Humboldt at age 20. That's when that horrible journey stopped. So entering GrowCast as a huge cannabis fan, but not knowing like a lot of this backstory, a lot of this lore, it's interesting to learn. And I didn't mean to step on any toes there, but I liked your response. It was measured. And I hope that answers our Slack chat question. Well,
and you know what? Let me go back just a sec. And if I offended or I stepped on toes, that was not my intentions. And I sincerely apologize. That is a question that I get asked probably 25 or 30 times a week. And I figure if I get it out on the air, it's the same answer that I'm explaining. And no, truth is truth.
Great, that was great.
You know, and much love to Soma. The brother has been rocking shit since way back in the day. When everybody knows Soma's source of his genetics are from NorCal. So that is what it is. There's no changing it. A lot of people who were working with original cuts sourced them from NorCal.
Right.
You know, NorCal, SoCal, Central Cal, Oregon, Washington, a lot of it was West Coast. I mean, California has the perfect growing environment.
You can do
light dip here. Most people are able, even outdoors, to harvest at least two or three crops a year.
I miss that climate. So
and
bad.
So and then indoors, yeah. It's just a whole different ball game, I want to apologize if I offended or misrepresented.
That was good. I just don't know what I'm getting into when I ask these questions. Cause there's like a whole fucking story. So,
yeah. See, Jordan, that's the problem, but is the gene pool is muddier than ever before. It's full of unstable, improperly or not at all worked lines.
Right.
And without saying, this breeder or that breeder. No. It's everybody that has not taken the time to look at would you go into the ocean and outfish something intentionally just, so the future couldn't have that certain type of fish anymore? Well, in cannabis, people are taking and hybridizing everything without documentation. They're taking plants that were basically hermaphroditic, produce their own seeds, and then they're taking those seeds. And because, maybe they scored a really nice cut. And then they're using them in breeding projects. Whereas back in the day, we knew because of trial and error that anytime we were to do that, even if it was the most dopest dope that you had smoked all season long, you knew if you tried running it in a breeding project, you were going to have more fucking issues than you were going to find worthy. And it was just for us, it was a simple no-brainer. I don't have the time because our lines are worked. We fucking focus on working our lines. No, we don't create a ton of lines, but our lines we focus on are worked.
Right.
They're worked by us, they're worked at home. We grow our own, we don't grow outside sources. Outside seeds is all ours. And the gene pool now has become the sacrificial lamb because people aren't either conscientious of what they're doing or just don't fucking give a shit because they're making so much money. And also advertising plays, names,
branding. Plays. That's what bothers me. Let's get into specifics. Like, what do you think is the most damaging? Clearly something like someone taking a cut, or someone breeding and not tracing the lineage. That's obvious. That's an obvious one. But like, I also see what you're saying about, you know, the, hey, I'm a huge hip hop fan, by the way, don't take this the wrong way, but the hottest rapper picks up a strain, names it completely, something completely different, yep. sells yep. it like that. It's a little bit weird to me.
Well, it's odd, but there goes like that. That goes under the bigger problem, the underlying problem that the industry, you know, just the casual smoker consumer, they don't understand the complexity because
right.
The people that came before us that did this, those are the fucking real OGs. There wasn't names. There wasn't advertising. There was don't ask, don't tell. And I sure the fuck ain't saying shit to you about nothing weed related because that meant incarcerated. Remember, my dad was a 3 strikes victim. And each strike was for fucking cannabis.
Jesus.
So I don't even want to get into that, but that has the money and that
the branding, just the idea corporatization, of, the corporatization, yeah. The influence. It's sickening me, the influencer infiltration.
Dude, and a lot of these people don't even know how to grow pot, but they're naming strains.
Yeah, and it's for like, sure, man. What the fuck? Or starting massive companies. I have not talked about this on air, but it's in the news, so I'm going to talk about it now. Dan Bilzerian invited us to his Ignite launch party, and me and producer Ben went. We went to Bilbo's house for the launch of that cannabis company that he's now...
Are you serious?
That he's now apparently like pilfering. We had to go. It was so weird. We had to go. And at the end of the night, it was such a weird night. I'm going to have to dedicate a whole episode and tell the entire story because it was like...
Oh, I'd love to hear
it. Me and Ben looked at each other and we're like, listen, if we produce an episode about this, we're going to... This is going to be it's gonna be a hit piece. Like, this was terrible.
God.
This is a horrible experience. But also, there were like a lot of nice people involved. The one guy we worked with from Ignite was nice. Dan himself, when we got to interview him, was very kind to us. So like, we didn't want to drag his name through the mud right then and there. But now that it's going down, I kind of feel like the truth needs to come out. We're going to go ahead and tell that story. It's a long one, but that's a perfect example, man. Bilbo Bilzerian doesn't know how to grow weed, man. It's not his thing. And now he's, you know, pilfering his company for $50,000 bed frames. Everyone go ahead and Google that story. It's fucking fascinating. And this guy's someone who's fascinated me because supposedly he's won all this money at poker, won 7 figures. I've seen the dude play. He's objectively bad. He does not have a good strategy. So that can't be true. Some people say that he has staked pros. Like he backs them. He gives them money, they play, and then they split the profit. Yeah, that could be how he got his bones, but I don't know, man. It seems like this guy's just kind of a faker, and now he's just taking advantage of his multi-million-dollar cannabis company like it's a piggy bank. It's whack, man. It's really, really whack. Bro.
And I can't look. There's so many people in Hollywood, rock bands, rap band. It doesn't matter. You name it. There's so many elites who have so much money that they know when and where to invest in. And yeah, a lot of them smoke the fuck out of weed. They'll smoke 2 ounces in a day. No big deal. But they don't know anything other than the buzz and what they like.
You're so right.
And so they take that and then they're like, oh my God, this is a money-making, a complete money-making opportunity. So what happens is they come out with an entire line. Everything is named a big advertising platform with stacks and stacks of cash based on advertising. That's all done before the fucking work is done with the product. Now, a fucking true cannabis grower knows you never count your fucking chickens before they hatch. Every fucking time we've ever done that, we're like, all right, this roll is going to be 25 units. This roll might be 30 units. Guess what? You get fucking the Borg. You have botrytis. You blew your plants up and they were so large, botrytis set in and you lost half your crop. Powdery mildew. Or, you know, you go through stringent testing, it didn't pass testing. So there was just a lot of shit that you knew in your mind, never put the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
You always lead the horse with the carrot. And it is a slow, step-by-step process, but these big power players aren't seeing it like that. They're coming in and they're hiring, you know, if the mom and pops that are willing to do it, they're hiring them. So again, you're taking a person's dream, and yeah, the person is making money, but they're working for the man again. It's like, I had a lifestyle where I was doing this shit all on my own. No fucking problems. And then the government got involved. Once the government got involved and everything became regulated, power players became the normal. And
how about the transition from medical to, I'm sorry to cut you off, but to recreational? You were right in the middle of all that. And what a shit show it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Where did medical even go? And that was our problem, is we got into this and started doing this and came out of the cannabis closet for the medical aspect. Yeah. We want to help people. Mm-hmm. We want people to understand how cannabis affects their immune system, what it can do to increase your immunities, mm-hmm. and the different forms. You don't have to just sit there and smoke a blunt like a lot of old people that we have set over the years and years and years and years. I hate that term, old people. Are the generation before us. We've spent hours discussing options, tinctures, drops that they can, just put in their mouth. And
that's cool,
it's amazing that these people one day are completely against it. It's immoral, and they'll go to hell if they consume it. You give them a drop of real tincture under their tongue, and then within an hour and a half, you've completely changed their fucking mind and opinion.
Yeah, change their life and their health sometimes.
Yes. And so then it's like, okay, so that person now sees it. We have spent 20 years. The first, because like our daughter, we with small town, we kept everything hidden, locked away. Nobody didn't want nobody to know. So we spent years and years trying to slowly, explain to people that we were helping out. This is why. This is these certain strains, they have different properties. And this one is going to help you with this certain ailment. This one's going to help you with this certain ailment. And we finally had people understanding it. And then our daughter was old enough. We sat down and had a discussion. Are you okay with people now knowing who like your parents are in our little area? And she was the one that we allowed. She was okay with it. So, the missus and I said, fuck it, let's do it. And then we jumped in, and it was the medical scene. And then all of a sudden it went from true, people truly start seeking medicine to now being nothing but a fucking money campaign.
That's what it is. And I think you'd agree. I mean, recreational, fuck yeah, we're all for that too. But
absolutely.
It's when it sends everything sideways with the regulations and destroying the medical access, mm-hmm. and all this stuff is really weird. And I want to be clear, because sometimes, I am a businessman, and I want to drill down on something here, Matt, because I love small. I am a capitalist. I love small businesses. I love small businesses like the one you have with your wife. I hope you get big. I hope you expand. I hope you make lots and lots of money and help lots and lots of people. What's the difference between you expanding and getting big and these corporations? And I think the line that gets crossed is exactly what you said. It's when you're taking a look at what are we doing, and the top of your mission statement is the bottom line. When the top of your mission statement isn't growing great cannabis, helping people through medicine, helping people relax through recreation, when it's not value driven, that's when I feel a business becomes a corporation. I'm sure there are actual definitions for that, but like, I don't like these corporations because they're not putting value first. They're putting fucking money first, which if you know anything about making money, the first step is value creation. So
yep.
I don't know. That's just how I feel. I don't know how I feel about that rant.
This might sound a little odd, but can I tell you I love you, Jordan? Is that okay?
Like, I love you too,
I love you, man. That was beautiful.
Well,
that was
there's a
awesome.
Lot of hypocrisy. Everyone who's saying, support small businesses and anti-corporations, you got to work that out. All a corporation is a small business that did very, very well and expanded. Mm-hmm. What's the crossing line for you? For me, it's when they fucking stop thinking about other people and value creation. That's where it is in my book.
Well, and for me, it was the same group of people that, because obviously the financial ability is the biggest aspect of getting into recreational cannabis in California.
Yeah.
If you can't afford the non-refundable first $1,500 just for them to fucking review your application,
Jesus,
you don't even have a chance. And that's just one candle on a 50 candle cake.
That's
because then
money,
you've got to go into licensing, and then they start you on a temporary licensing, meaning you got to prove yourself. No problem. But all the meanwhile, you're paying their fees. Think of it as a liquor license, $10,000, $15,000, whatever the county, you know, county's going to charge you.
And yes. It's like, meanwhile, you're just getting your feet set. And meanwhile, I'm listening to, Mark Garagos talking about how they're still prosecuting old cannabis cases in the courthouse, even though,
Jesus. Which is fucking ludicrous. It's ludicrous. And again, I'm absolutely for recreational cannabis, but the difference for me is I don't want cannabis to be this reclassified under government guidelines drug or whatever it is they want to call it. I want complete decriminalization. I want it to be to where you can't fucking bust me for growing a plant in my front yard. It's decriminalized. It's like growing marigolds. Yeah. People smoke marigolds. People smoke those fucking ugly ass yellow flowers, those weed dandelions. So it's like, what the fuck? I could smoke a dandelion all day, but I can't smoke a pot plant. And then you guys, not only that, but you're going to fine me money that I don't have to pay. And you're going to take my shit from me, which I don't have money to replace. So now you're forcing me into a situation to where I have to do what? Anything to survive.
Yeah.
That's basically what's happened with 64. The fucking originators of growing weed in the hills of California are the first four people that were forced out of the industry because they couldn't compete. They don't live rich. They live for what they do.
Yeah.
They live for for their families and each other. You've got generational farmers. You know, you've got grandfathers.
Such a good point. I never heard sons, of that. Why are they trying to turn that into a corporation? That's a horrible thing to turn into. It's not going to work.
I'm really passionate, and I don't want to sound bitter because I'm grateful for people to have success. I love it. America's founded on success. Right now, with everything that's going on, we need more successes, no matter what, than we need failures. And I'm all for success, but what bothers me about it is during the success movement, it's been successful for those who already had money that they were just investing, and not for the people whose backs this fucking community, which is now an industry, because in my day it was a community, the don't ask, don't tell community, was like, that's the fucking people that cannabis was founded on 100%. In our country, you know, and now 75% of them can't even grow but six plants.
Yeah.
And it's like, really?
That's me. You know? Well, let me tell you something, man. Let me try to, maybe we can put a positive spin on this thought, because how do you realistically fight against that? There's one good thing about this country, which is we can vote with our dollar. And if we can just educate enough people to look into where their cannabis, to grow their own cannabis and free themselves from the tyranny of fucking dispensaries and companies like Ignite. Sorry, Dan. Thanks for inviting me. but also, just make people more aware of where their sources are coming from and who owns the Thank company you. And the big companies and the small companies. And, you know, if Cresco Labs here in Illinois releases a statement that they're going to switch their focus to low quality flower, maybe stop buying Cresco right away. If enough of us did that, we would actually make a change. So that's how you operate within the free market, for better or for worse. So I think that's the kind of light forward. Educate as many people as you can, grow at home as much as you can, and vote with your dollar.
Yeah. Make your dollar count. Make your voice and opinion count. Let everybody know this is why. This is not acceptable. Absolutely. Totally. I couldn't agree more. And do your homework. Everybody asks me, what do I look for? Because a lot of breeders are either claiming to have this cut and that cut, and they're working with that cut. So a lot of breeding outfits will be producing a lot of kind of the same hybrids, because everybody likes to play the cut of the month hybrid game. Everybody wants to, even though that current cut of the month is probably a polyhybrid by polyhybrid by polyhybrid by polyhybrid. It doesn't matter, because names sell in, you know what I mean? Word of mouth sells and advertising sells. So they come in, they do no homework. And everybody asks me now, if breeder A is producing the same, you know, almost same hybrid on paper as say breeder B is, well, then that's honestly all on the grower's shoulders to make the decision. And I don't make a decision for myself unless I have fucking researched. If I'm going to dump $100 for 10 seeds, I am going to study every fucking thing that breeder A and breeder B have created with both that cut and anything else that they've created. And simply by doing that, looking at how long they've been doing what they're doing, mm-hmm. how many complaints, how many positive reviews, ask questions. There's never a dumb question.
For sure. And or how about these breeder features, Matt? You come on here and people vibe with you. Like I can feel a different. We just had a beginning breeder not too long ago. One of the things I loved about him is that he was humble and like he didn't bring the same vibe that you have of like, I've been doing this shit for a long time, man. So these breeder features are great to where you can get to know the breeder and then really dive into their values and identify with that. So fuck yeah, man. I'm all about that.
Hey, and from what you just said, you want to ask me the best breeding tip is for growers to find their favorites. Find your favorite cut. And then if that was your favorite cut, then find that lineage, find that line, and then choose you a sexy male. What you feel in your brain after researching is the sexiest male, and create your own fucking seeds. That's without a doubt, my best. And you don't have to, everybody thinks like, oh my God, I have a male and it's going to fuck everything up. It doesn't even have to be like that. You can make a male drop pollen under a simple CFL and a 12-hour light cycle. And he doesn't have to be anywhere near your females. And you could collect an envelope full of pollen and take and paintbrush one branch of your favorite plant and produce 100 to 200 seeds. Tag that branch. Make sure after that pollination has taken, you lightly mist off in any of the pollen, the rogue pollen that might be around. Bag that branch, tag that branch, and then you'll get to see for yourself how good it feels to create a strain that's all yours. Yeah, it came from somebody else's work. Keep it what it is, call it what it is, but own it. You created it, it's yours. But right. Just be honest with the lineage. Who made that and that you just took it a next step? That is the best breeding tip that I could give anybody. Grow your own. Create your own, because it will expand your mind even further. Like that first time people have a successful harvest, it's just a feeling, because I've taught so many people how to do this and they're always so fucking excited and they're like, oh my God, dude, I can't believe it. Look at this. And then it's the same way once they make their first hybrid and they're like, those seeds are mine. Like, I fucking made them. I'm like, well, bro, half of them are still green. So you need to make sure you're letting your plants like mature, especially if it's for seeds, like all the way until they're dying, because the seeds will just, they'll be ready when they're ready. But you did it. You now have the idea. And once it's in their head, it's such a beautiful thing to watch, because damn. Now not only does the person have the ability to grow their own smoke with their own choice of additives and solutions, either from a bottle or not from a bottle. And then at that point, they now find what they like. Not what a breeder says you're going to like, not what, some so-and-so seed outfit who sells seed says you're going to like, but you, who as a person and smoker who knows this is the shit I like, now you have the ability to make and grow your own, and so that's how. Hard. That's hard for me to say. Obviously, this is our industry. This is what, this is how we make our living. But that's honesty. And if anybody is telling you, nah, it's not worth it, it's bullshit, don't listen to them. And it's probably a fucking breeder out there secretly saying, nah, you don't want to make it.
Exactly. Like, but a comedian, dude, telling you to stay out of comedy because he doesn't want you taking his fucking spots.
you're horrible at it. Don't get into comedy. Yeah, exactly. Bullshit. Holy make your shit. Own. Grow your own. And enjoy it. There's so much to learn about the plant itself. I spent 4 years, but this is well before the fucking internet. I spent 4 years doing nothing but research while I was growing. I didn't want, I wanted to teach myself. I knew how to grow. It had been passed on to me, but I wanted to know the plant. I wanted to study the plant. And I started learning things that the plant did that formerly to me were wives' tales. It was nonsense bullshit. And so I needed to prove to myself, well, okay, so you know, this old timer in the hills telling me to do it this way. Well, this old timer over here is telling me to do it this way. In my head, I have a whole nother idea. Let's try them all, you know? And for 4 years, I did research.
But yeah, time in the lab, right? I don't think people give that nearly enough credence. I was just doing an interview with a multimillionaire penny stock trader. And I asked him, because there were so many correlations between poker and trading penny stocks. And one of the things I said is, one thing in poker, a real good poker player spends 5, 10, 20 times the amount studying as they do playing. Like, literally, any good poker player, you can ask them, what's your study time to play time ratio? And it'll always be higher on the study side. So I think that's a good application for almost anything in life.
Yeah, dude, and even, okay, for instance, a doctor, every, I think it's 4 years, has to renew his license. He has to take the board exam.
Yeah, I got
to
bone up. Good call.
Yeah, and anything that happens in that time, any kind of, you know, sometimes a doctor will make a bad choice in an emergency room as a diagnosis, and then the lawsuit comes about.
Scrutiny.
So if that comes up, guess what? Now this doctor has to prove all over again that he's worthy of practicing medicine. Well, dude, you don't go to college to get a degree in something and then move out into world and then expect, you know, not to be prepared. It's the same way with cannabis. You don't just step into cannabis and
fucking crush it. Some people do, dude. And I'm always surprised, but it's usually not the case. Usually you gotta prep up, man. We're coming up against it, man. I could talk to you for another hour, but we're coming up
absolutely
against it.
Absolutely.
At the _mad with 2 D's _farmer. Follow him now. I got to get this question in because it's from one of my favorite members. And it's a question that you could answer very quickly if it popped to the top of your head. Favorite old school strain, favorite new school strain?
How old school, for one. Because if we go all the way back, it was simply Skunk One. Skunk One by far, hands down, True Skunk One killed it. Skunk One is the shit. That would be my favorite all-time strain.
Now I know a lot of this new stuff kind of makes you a little bit sicker, but is there a new one? Is there a new one that has caught your eye?
71 Wicked Flavors.
There you go. Fuck yeah, dude. Good plug at the end.
Anything from the Wicked line.
Go and pick it up. I'm so stoked to grow these out, man. Thank you for the package you sent me, by the way.
No, hey, thank you for being you, and thank you for allowing me a platform to speak my truth. And then, like I said, with these OGs, I know we're short on time. Keep in mind, folks, when you lose your OGs, your original farmers that fucking started this shit, when they're gone, they're not only gone, but the cuts and the work and everything they put into what we see that makes up this market today, they go with them too. If my wife and I decided to step away from this game,
you're not going to hand it to Ignite. You're not going to give your seed stock to Ignite. No, you're going to take that shit and burn it down.
Yeah. Okay. We've been offered a lot of money for specific cuts and we've turned them down for the specific reason. Everybody says, oh, you're a greedy son of a bitch and you don't like to share. It's got nothing to do with it. I have watched for fucking 15 years now since the breeder market got really hot. Breeders take shit and they say, oh, I'll hold it forever and I'll never do this. I'll never do that. Bullshit. If somebody's willing to spend $15,000 for a single cut, you can't tell me they're not looking at it as a stock investment.
Totally.
Plain and simple. And then also, I'm not going to say what direction that we're taking Mad Farmer Genetics, but there are big changes coming, folks. Oh, there are big changes.
Big changes. Do we have any sort of timeline?
I don't want to do timelines. Maybe 6-9 months.
Okay.
Range.
Okay.
That's when
we want you back on for another podcast.
give or take. You might see a little less of us. Like it's been. I haven't been able to get on and post and whatnot. But
oh shit.
There's things coming.
All right,
there's
man.
Things coming.
We're waiting
We've
on the
made decisions. So this. Stay tuned.
Fuck yeah! I love it, man. All right, everybody, you heard it here. Follow the Mad Farmer. Do everything mad in your garden. You won't regret it. It went Elmer Fudd.
Regret it.
Elmer Fudd style. Shout out to the Mad Wife. Thanks for everything you guys do.
Yes, please.
And that's
shout out to Mrs. Mad. She's the best. Without her, I'm not shit. She is the reason that Mad Farmer Genetics circles this globe. She is.
Fuck
she is.
Man.
She does the work. She is the man. She's not a man, but she is the man.
She's the woman behind the man.
Yes, she is the woman behind this sorry old ass man right here. She is the queen.
Oh, incredible, man. Everybody, madman. Everybody follow at Growcast, follow at Jordan River IG. I'm all loopy. We're punchy. Thanks so much, man. Everybody listening, thank you. We'll see you next time. Be safe and grow smarter. That's our show for today. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to Mad Farmer. Love that guy. Make sure to follow him. Give him the love he deserves. Shout out to AC Infinity, who we love, the best inline duct fans. If you don't have an AC Infinity, step up your game right now. ACInfinity.com is where you can find them. Promo code GROWCAST15 for 15% off. The S series, the Smart series, is incredible. Even the T series, you can change the fan speeds. I can't recommend these guys enough. 2-year warranty. They're the best fans out there. Whisper quiet. God, AC Infinity. We really do love AC Infinity. Shout out to Illinois Canna Consulting. That's Rich's consulting company. Get at him, everybody. For all your consulting needs in the Midwest and beyond, let's get growing. And Jay Blanked did the beat. SoundCloud.com/Jay Blanked. Thanks, everybody. Hope you're doing great things in your grow. Hope you're beating your records, crushing your yields, harvest over harvest. All right, I'll talk to you later, everyone. Be safe out there. Bye-bye.